You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company once again on this Tuesday as we get set for another golfing week. We've got two events this week, the Italian Open and the Houston Open, and Dave Kellner alongside Dave Tindall in the studio to cover it all. First of all, good morning to you, Mr. Tindall.
Hello Dave, and well done on Adam Hadwin last week.
He managed to grab a full place, which was nice.
Yep.
It just keeps us ticking over, doesn't it, on this
That's
podcast?
Right, yeah, and just land those sort of, what was it, 45-1?
Yeah, 45-1.
Get a few of those just in the sort of non-win weeks and you're ticking over. But although I must admit I was a bit sort of with Kevin Na because I've tipped him a few times.
Yeah.
And 66-1 in that.
In Vegas.
In Vegas, where he lives and he's won before.
Yeah.
Seems a bit of like a... Although, did you see the stat about his putting?
Oh, well...
And his tee to green negative.
I've got it written down here. Justin Ray commented on it on Twitter. He finished the Shriners with negative strokes gained tee to green for the week. First player to win a PGA Tour event with negative strokes gained tee to green since Bill Haas. That was in 2011 at the Tour Championship. He's the first player to do it in a full field event since the statistic became available 15 years ago. It's a one for the drive for show, put for dough brigade, wasn't it?
Completely. And what did he gain? 14 strokes with the putter?
It was just astonishing.
Yeah.
It was an astonishing performance with the putter. Has there ever been a golfer go from being so maligned as Kevin Na was to... He's become like a cult figure on Twitter now.
He's now hilarious, isn't he? Because he does the walk to pick the ball out of the hole, and Tiger mimics it.
Yeah, and he recoils with the driver when he unleashes one and gets like an extra 5 yards out of his 285-yard drive.
Yeah, Alan Shipnuck did a piece with him as well that went down well. Just sort of, you know, he's just a bit.
He's transformed everyone's opinion of him.
Yeah, I don't know whether he's completely changed himself. I mean, he was probably a bit young and a bit hot-headed and a bit tempestuous before, but like you say, now he's just become this sort of bloke who people like, and he wins. That's two in the calendar year for him. You know, he was in that bracket of players when who can't win. You know, he had that one win in Vegas, I think 2011, and then he was thought of as a, you know, gets tops five, sixes, top tens, but he's never going to win. Don't waste your win bet. Now he's a legitimate bet, isn't he, to win a tournament?
And I've heard he's playing more quickly as well. He was in the final pairing with Patrick Cantlay, and you thought this is going to take
forever,
15 hours to complete a round. But I saw some people that were there tweeting saying that the pace of play was much quicker than they anticipated. Whether or not that's because Na's suddenly...
No expectations.
Suddenly become a good guy and now you're putting a positive spin on everything with him. I'm not sure, but apparently he was playing more quickly.
Yeah, I'm sure it helps. I mean, I'm sure others could maybe take a leaf out of his book.
And he could barely pull the trigger 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Incredible story, Kevin Na, and good victory. And he came back from that 7, didn't he, at the start of the back 9 as well, to get into that playoff when Cantlay was charging at him. Yeah, so fantastic performance all round.
Another bogey, drove into the water, didn't he? Found water on the 15th or 16th.
Yeah.
It won for the nappy factor as well. He'd just had a baby, hadn't he?
Yeah, 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, which he actually pulled out of the BMW to sort of show, again, what a great guy, because he's sort of forgot the playoffs.
Family's more important.
Exactly,
Dave.
Yeah. And that's what he did. Now he reaped the rewards.
What about on this side of the pond? John Rahm.
Yeah, well, we kind of said, didn't we? You could just put your money on him and Garcia. Garcia never got going, and Rahm just did and just mincemeat of them.
Oh, he put on an absolute clinic in his National Open. He took control on the back nine on Sunday, never sighted thereafter. And he's become a player you can guarantee can bully lower-class opposition. It was... I know we had some prominent Spaniards there in the field last week, but this was... Yeah, he made mincemeat of them, as you said. I think that's the perfect description. And he just trampled all over that field.
Yeah, and obviously the weird miscut in Scotland was just something and nothing. It was just, he had a bad week.
Yeah.
But he was only 3-1, wasn't he?
But I don't. Can you get a price short enough in a field of that nature for John Rahm?
Yeah.
Because he's forming, if you take away the event stateside, his form on the European Tour is, it's second to none, isn't it? And that includes the likes of Rory McIlroy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how low do you go? I mean, 3-1, it looks sort of a bit sort of like we've been cut off at the pass.
Yeah, but, you can't think he's going to be ever shorter than 3-1, yeah, can you, for
you wouldn't
a regular tour
so.
Event?
But, yeah, shame he's not playing this week. But that took him to the top of the order of merit, so deservedly so, although I think Shane Lowry can go back in front of him this week.
Yeah, it should be a good week. Got the Italian Open first up. Paul Casey, the 9-1 favourite. Justin Rose, 11-1. Francesco Molinari is 14-1 here with William Hill. Shane Lowry, 18-1. Danny Willett is 22s, along with Matthew Fitzpatrick. Matt Wallace is also 22-1. Tyrrell Hatton is 28s. Bernd Wiesberger, Andrea Pavan, Hao Tong Li, Thomas Peters, Eric Van Rooyen, Ian Poulter, Alex Noren, all 33-1. And it's 50-1 and bigger the rest. And as expected, with it being a Rolex Series event, it's attracted a very strong field with a couple of Englishmen at the top of the betting, and Molinari, Francesco Molinari, is the leading home hope. Unfortunately, we're lacking a bit of continuity as far as the venue is concerned. This is hosted by Olgiata, a golf club this week. Hasn't hosted a tournament since 2002 when Ian Poulter won the Italian Open. But I'd expect form in Italy to hold up pretty strongly this week.
I agree. Tree-lined, parkland. Sometimes to kind of reverse engineer it, sometimes you hear Molinari playing a course outside of Italy and he says it reminds him of courses in Italy, and and when he says that, he's always on a tree line course somewhere. Parkland. So yeah, I think it's one of those ones where they've not suddenly moved to near the sea or something like they did in the, was it the Sicilian or something, that one where there's a, you know, it's just a pure parkland tree line track. So I think Italy form is particularly of use this week.
Yeah, I do. And I think because most of the courses in Italy, as you referenced, are pretty similar.
Yeah.
This one's maybe slightly longer than a typical Italian track.
Yes, on the card it looks a bit longer, if we believe that.
We're never quite sure, are we? No. But it appears to have been lengthened significantly since that event back in 2002. That appear to be pretty meaty par fours on the layout. And I can see strong drivers thriving at this course as well.
I mean, I that event was won by Ian Poulter, who incidentally, you know, grew up playing golf at Woburn, which is tree lined, so that kind of made sense. It was 19 under and it was reduced to 54 holes, so you know, what could he have finished on? But then I did notice that they've played Challenge Tour events there, I think 4 or 5 times. And if you look at the scoring, it got harder and harder every year on year. So I think the last two editions of the Challenge Tour event played there were won with -9 and then the very latest with -5. Mm-hmm. So I think you start to think of places maybe like Wentworth and Valderrama as useful pointers because they're, you know, tough tracks, tree-lined.
And I suppose we're talking about higher quality players here, so I guess we're going to get slightly better scoring than you anticipate.
But still, I don't think it's going to be a doddle.
I can see it being into the teens, but not the high teens. Mm. Something like 13 or 14, maybe.
Yeah,
wins this week. One of my selections has been kiboshed here from a price perspective.
I think mine has, but unless I just read it wrong last night. But.
Yeah, well, I was looking. I was looking early this morning. Had the prices up, and we had 28-1 Matt Wallace, which
is exactly the one I'm talking about as well.
And now we're going 22s, which is
So he was your first pick.
Yeah,
was
he was my first pick.
Yeah, me too.
Were you going with him as well?
28s, I thought, all over that. Yeah. 22s, it's like, right.
Yeah, it's
then.
A bit frustrating. He's been pretty well touted this week, I think. And he's become,
obviously, see why.
Yeah, he's popular because of his form in Italy. It's been quite well documented that he's had the 3 wins on the Alps Tour in Italy. Yeah. And he's not got a win yet this season as well, which I think will spur him on. He's just split with his caddy a couple of months back now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's got a new caddy on the bag. But there's been plenty of encouragement in those latest outings, hasn't there?
Yeah. I mean, he was third in at the KLM Open and kind of said he wasn't even playing very well, but he was scoring well. And then he was not brilliant at Wentworth, a good, really good start, but not brilliant. But then 15th at the Alfred Dunhill. I mean, that price, I mean, I can remember on this very podcast, I think I put him up at 150s for this event.
Yeah.
2 years ago, which kind of shows his rapid improvement. What is he? World number 26 now.
Yeah. He was world number 24 when that video came out, wasn't he?
I think. Yes. But I mean, look at the players he's above now, kind of like Matsuyama he's ahead of, and Stenson, Spieth. I mean, he is a proper, proper player.
Yeah.
What are we doing then at 22?
Should we split it?
We can't not back
No, I think we should maybe split it. Maybe have half a point each way apiece just because of the price, or would you like more on that?
So that's one each way.
So should we do a 1.5 each way between us?
Yeah, however you want to divide that. Well,
yeah, well, let's just do
0.75.
Yeah, 0.75 each way, because I think the price, obviously the price, we're price sensitive in here, so it always plays a part, doesn't it? But I think we'd both be pretty frustrated if he won and we weren't on.
Yeah, we need to acknowledge we're a bit cross, aren't we, about the price cut. But
we don't sound very cross, but we are.
But for us.
Internally.
Oof. If I walk past one of our odds makers, I'll give him such a look, Dave. Really will.
The driver is the big strength for Matt Wallace, isn't it? I think when he's on, he drives the ball so well.
Yeah, long and straight.
Yeah.
And then his stats were just pretty solid at the Alfred Dunhill Links. He scrambled well there as well, scrambled well at the KLM Open. And he's just got that relentless desire, hasn't he? You think, is he a bit far back to win the Order of Merit? But no, he absolutely wants to win that, doesn't he? So he will be chomping at the bit to get going here, and I think he'll see this as a really good opportunity.
It's worth noting, I don't know if you've seen, I'm sure you have, that the European Tour have made serious improvements on their website, and you can now access strokes gain for each event.
Yes.
You've seen that, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's pretty neat, because the European Tour, we know their innovative social media has been... it's been industry leading, hasn't it?
That's right.
They've not quite kept up with leaderboards and stats, and they're moving in that direction now, which is a definite positive.
Yeah, plus I've got a kind of a slight hotline via someone who can any kind of little things you spot.
You can source it.
You can sort of, yeah, and they've started to do that already. For example, I wanted to have a little look back at 2002.
Okay.
When Poulter won this course.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to click where previously there was, so that's gonna, it's gonna, you know, I don't think it's all just appeared all singing and dancing, but I think there are little things that if anybody spots, either go straight to them or you could come to me and I'll pass it on.
Well, I was looking back for the stats for the Alfred Dunhill Links, and they've broken every category down into strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained on the approach, around the green. The only thing missing was the tee to green, which I obviously lean heavily on on the PGA Tour. That wasn't there, which is a shame. But they had all those little stats broken down into a specific page for each tournament now, which they've never had previously.
Yes, that's all good. Yeah,
very good. So Matt Wallace will have 1.5 points each way on Matt Wallace at 22-1 between us.
Yeah,
for the week. Have you got a second selection?
And a third.
Oh, okay. I've only got one more.
Okay.
So I'll let you go next.
Yeah, I'll go my second one. I will go very much with trees in mind, and it perhaps being a tougher test than you might think. It's our friend Christian Bezuidenhout.
Oh, okay. 50-1.
Yes. Still think he's been underrated for what he's done. I mean, he third in Germany, and then he went on to win at Valderrama. Superb performance there. Had a little bit of a dip, as you might expect, but then he put him back amongst the trees, Dave.
Yeah.
Parkland track, and he comes third at Wentworth. So anyone who's got a first and a third at Valderrama at Wentworth is a serious player. And because of those style of tracks, I think that will translate nicely to a big week this week. And I just saw 50s. I thought, absolutely.
Yeah.
Go for him. Yeah, I just think he did miss the cut at the Alfred Dunhill, but you look at two of his rounds, 67 and 68... Yeah, Rahm missed the cut at the Alfred Dunhill, so we can't put an awful lot in that. But obviously a very different style of golf. But I think this style, when he's parklanding in the trees, there's nothing quirky about the weather either this week, I don't think. So I think he should go well again.
Christian Bezuidenhout, who is the pick for Mr. Tindall at 50-1. I've got a 50-1 shot as well. Yours is probably better value than mine, in all honesty. But I wanted to play another strong driving Englishman this week.
This could be my third pick.
Jordan Smith.
Yes.
Yeah. We were singing from the same hymn sheet then here. Definitely trending in the right direction after a run of miscuts. He catches my eye on a course of this nature because of his quality with the driver. Broke a string, that string of miscuts, with a very promising 24th place finish at Wentworth, and then built on that with four rounds in the 60s in Scotland, which was good for a tie for fifth in the Dunhill Links. Last two Italian Opens, finished tied for eighth and tied for 12th. So, and he's shown his liking for parkland tracks with his win in the Porsche European Open as well. I like his chance, and I thought 50s was fair enough.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at his form, and there's a lot of miscuts in there, but if you kind of ignore those and focus on the good bits, he's actually come in the top six four times in his last 11 starts. And that's an impressive run.
And I like the fact that he has a tendency
To bunch them,
yeah. I do like that with a player. He kind of gets hot and stays hot for a while and then goes slightly off the boil. And with Smith, you're catching him at just the perfect moment here on a good golf course for him.
Yeah, and I think kind of parkland tracks, maybe a bit of a sweeping generalisation, but I think greens in reg is always something to look for in this style of course. And if you look at Smith's last two GIR greens in reg figures, they're 11th at the Alfred Dunhill and 7th at Wentworth, so his irons are, you know, right up there. So again, I saw 50s and thought, yeah, there's no sort of, oh, we've collared him there. I thought 50s was fine.
Yeah, okay. Got a few selections, so we matched on a couple there then. Which is weird. There's a whole host of players that you can talk about as leading contenders this week. A couple that I picked out at slightly bigger prices that I liked. Joost Luiten's playing a lot better tee to green than his price suggests anyway. I know the results haven't quite manifested yet for Luiten, but 50-1, I think he'll go well. And it wasn't too long ago that we were talking about Luiten as in a field of this nature at 25 and 28 and 33. So I thought he'd go well at 50s. And got to mention Guido Migliozzi at 70s this week.
I think he was cut from 100s. Yeah. I think we went 100s, didn't we,
He's been cut across the board, I think.
Yeah.
That's about market price now.
We were first up.
Yeah.
And then I was going down, and you could see
he was
all
the first
all
mover,
hundreds.
Was he?
Yeah, there was suddenly a 70 in there.
Yeah.
Oh, he's been collared, but not surprising.
And he's got a very similar profile to Matt Wallace in his progression, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Three wins on the Alps Tour. All three came in Italy. And
two wins this year.
Yeah, likes a tree-lined track. And yeah, similar to Wallace in that breakthrough season where he had, what was it, four wins? Matt Wallace, something like that?
Three or four.
And Migliozzi is just so at home on a tree line track, and he's played well on difficult golf courses as well that have tested scoring. So Migliozzi is one that I'm definitely keeping an eye on at 70s.
Yeah. Where's he gone? I've lost him. Andrea Pavan, there he is, at 33s. I thought you'd mention him.
He's a bit skinny, isn't he? I just thought the price was a little bit short. But he's got lots from Rome. Yeah, lots of course knowledge. Playing really well.
Yeah, there's no reason why he can't get in the mix. Danny Willett's got some fantastic form in this event, and I think event form counts for plenty because he's playing similar sort of tracks, one at Wentworth. Just whether he can.
Yeah, I wondered whether there might be a slight dip with Willie.
Yeah. I mean,
he seems to pour so much into those performances, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's almost a better bet in running, isn't he, in a big event when he's, you know, up there, because he really does finish well, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. So
he's one I looked at. Poulter himself, 33s. I can't say I was thrilled by the price, but I think, you know, taking that out of it, I think he's got a chance. Got a couple of top tens in his last four starts. Obviously won here before. Tyrrell Hatton's just been cut as I speak to 30s. But I think, Willett was the one. It's just that feeling that, when he wins big, I don't think he follows it up so quick.
Yeah.
With anything else. Molinari, of course. Pavan's just been cut again as we speak. to 30.
They're making those moves.
Yeah, they're listening
right now,
in.
Yeah, they are listening in.
Molinari, what do you think of him then at 14?
Well, I think he'd go well, and of the three at the top of the betting, he was the most solid. He was the one that tempted me most, yeah. Francesco Molinari. I think
won it twice.
Yeah, I just think he will just be metronomic, won't he? Again, Molinari. Yeah. I know he's not quite been in the same sort of form, but he's nearing that.
He's not
that
a million miles
form.
Away, is he? When he sort of had to step it up because he was the defending champion, there was a lot of focus on him. He pulled an 11th out of the bag at Royal Port Rush when defending the Claret Jug.
Yeah.
Always plays well at Wentworth, did so. Not quite as, you know, when we say well, it's almost like win or second, but Wentworth 14th. And then he went to the Safeway.
That's almost like, with his Wentworth figures, though, that's almost like a disappointment,
sort of,
isn't it?
Yeah. And then for some reason, he went to the Safeway Open.
Yeah, he wanted to get his...
Oh, right. I thought he liked the supermarket.
I think he wanted to get his extra event. Yeah. You know, you've got to have one new one, and he wanted to get it out of the way, I think.
Right. Yeah. Long way to go, isn't it? California, yeah. To play it. But I just look at his record in this event is astonishingly good. So yeah. He's not someone who feels the extra pressure. I think he just thrives off it, doesn't he?
Okay, let's move on to the Houston Open, the PGA Tour event this week. We talked last week about how the fall schedule has played into the hands of many sponsors attracting better fields, but this one has suffered moving to this slot in October. It was previously the event held before the Masters, and it's a bit of a shame too, because the Golf Club of Houston has hosted this tournament since 2003, and this is the last time they're going to be playing here, the players, for the foreseeable future. I suppose the first question, I'll spin through the betting in a second, but how do we think the course will play with this switch from April to October? Because we've got cooler conditions, and the ground staff are no longer setting it up to mimic Augusta. So the rough is reportedly much more juicy, and it's not going to be the same sort of pushover as last week's event was, but it could play completely differently to what we usually have in April.
I can see why that's an angle, but I'm not sure it's going to be massively impactful.
Okay.
Because, yeah, they tried to set it up like Augusta, but they never got anywhere near, to be honest, because you can't just pretend something is Augusta.
No, but they had the
yeah, they tried.
They shaved the banks, didn't they, and brought the hazards into play more. I just wonder whether the hazards won't be in play as much with the rough up.
Possibly, but I mean, the weather's still, it's going to be nice weather this week as well. Obviously, the sight lines off the tee, that's a big part of why people play well at certain courses. I was just thinking back to other tournaments that have moved. So the Greenbrier moved, didn't it, from July to September. Not a bigger move, but Neiman, who won the other week, he'd got fifth on his previous start there. And I was recalling what's now the Valspar, where Retief Goosen won in, I think, October and May, or October and March. Completely different sides of...
No, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Different seasons. I think if you like a course, to me, I think these are just sort of little percentages. I think if you like the course, you really do like the course. So I wouldn't put anyone off the course specialists at all.
Henrik Stenson heads the betting at 9-1. Russell Henley, Cameron Champ, Daniel Berger, Brian Harman, all 22s. Pat Perez and Scotty Scheffler are both 28-1. Denny McCarthy is 33s. It's 40-1. Matt Jones, Russell Knox, Sam Ryder, Bud Cawley, Sebastian Munoz, and Kyle Stanley, 45-1 and bigger the rest. I've not got a pick in this event.
Oh.
I didn't have an earthly. Right. A couple that stood out to me, but slightly put off by the respective prices. And yeah, I went round and round in circles with this, and I thought I'll just leave this to you. There's a couple I want to mention at the end. Yeah, no, you're glad about that. Clearly, there's a couple I want to mention at the end, but yeah, I've got no official selection.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I was looking at some of the prices, and I was like, oh, really?
It's just because the field is so weak, isn't it? And I don't think. I know this is going to polarise opinion, but I don't think Stenson's an appalling price this week.
No.
I think he could easily go in this week, Stenson. I think the change in the schedule is going to be a benefit for him, if anything, because I think it's going to put more impact on maybe hitting, finding the fairways. You're not going to be able to spray it as much. And he just loves the setup here because all the hazards come into play with the driver, but he can throttle back with the three wood. And his approach play is still, I mean, in the top echelons of the game, isn't it, Stenson?
Yeah.
And I think he'll go well at 9-1, Stenson. I know he's not won for a couple of years now, but I think this is a really good chance for him. And I think if you're looking for each way bets, there's worse than Stenson at 9s.
Right. Yeah, sometimes you sort of, you go around the houses and you look at everybody and then you almost come back. Right, let's just have another look at the top end again, right? Really sure I'm not missing anything.
I mean, he's placed four times in his last seven starts in Houston. I mean, 9-1, I don't think it's the worst price in the world. He was third on his penultimate performance, 17th last time. So he's in decent nick, Stenson. And yeah, I think he'll have highlighted this one. I think he'll go well.
I'm just thinking now about a slight amendment in our staking plan on Matt Wallace.
Right.
And I'm going to leave that with you, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pull Matt Wallace into a double.
Okay.
With Russell Henley.
Yeah, you like that.
Because both are 22-1.
Yeah.
So you could call it the 22-1 double, or you could call it the terrible value double, if you're that way inclined. But they're kind of, we've collared them a bit, but I really fancy them both.
Yeah, Henley's just got an outstanding record.
Yeah,
here, hasn't
it is daft, isn't it? It's well, starting from 2014, 7th, 4th, 5th, 1st, 8th.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to me, you know, he's arrived there in different sort of form. He's not in particularly bad form. He's runner-up at the John Deere. That was mid-July, or not that long ago. He's made every cut he's played since, shot all four rounds in the 60s in Vegas last week, where he was 8th in greens in reg, hit it straight. It's just, it's not the brilliant, it's not a brilliant price. You can't pull the wool over anyone's eyes there. But I think if you put him in a double with Wallace, so if you want to, do you want on Wallace then? You, well, go back to a point
I'll
each way.
I'll go back to a point each way on Wallace.
And I'll have 22s. A point each way double on Henley and Wallace.
I like that. I do like the bet, 22-1 and 22-1, respectively. I think there might be a few people that are doing similar sort of things, because the Rolex events have been dominated by the elite, haven't they?
Yeah.
Since their inception. And
some crossables.
Yeah, a lot of people will be leaning on some solid course form here for the likes of Stenson and Henley. And because it is such a weak field, it does attract you maybe to a couple towards the top of the betting.
Yeah. I have actually got one bet as well.
Okay.
At 50-1 because, well, it's, I've been watching him for a while.
I wonder if it's going to be the same guy that I've got noted down here.
Bronson Bagoon.
Oh, no. I like Lanto Griffin.
Yeah, I looked at him close. Yeah, just, what, top 20 last four starts?
Yeah, he's just started the season in flying form. And he's got the sort of game that could translate well to around here. He's won on Bermuda on the Corn Ferry Tour. He's had one start here and missed the cut on his only start, which kind of tempers enthusiasm. But I thought Lanto Griffin, he's just been in good form, so 50-1 he attracted me. But you're going with Bagoon.
Bagoon, yeah. I just think he's one of these who's got a win in him soon.
Yeah.
Last started this new season with 19th at the Greenbrier, 6th at the Sanderson Farms. And he's just eased off a little bit, but if you look at his round scores, there's nothing to worry about in the safe way. Played decent in Vegas. He's played this twice. I mean, the big thing, he's a Texan, so he's grown up playing Texas golf.
Yeah.
Went to Texas Uni.
In the wind.
Yeah, all that kind of thing. And he's had two, I mean, he played this in 2006. How, was he like 5 or something? How old is he?
I've no idea.
And then he didn't play it for another 12 years. And he's like 32 or something.
I'm gonna have a quick
look. He can't be like,
He's probably had a he might have had a couple of cracks at getting on.
Yeah, he's not like one of these 25-year-olds. Otherwise, he would have been
32 years.
Oh god, that was a good guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he played it when he was 20. Then.
Yeah.
Not right.
He's older than I thought he was. To be
no,
fair.
19. Played as a teenager then.
Yeah.
13 years ago he played it, missed the cut. So you could sort of forget that one. But he did play it last year. And was 24th. But again, if you look at his round scores, there's a kind of, well, where did it all go wrong? It's fairly obvious. Shot 67, 68, 75, then 68. So three good rounds he put in there. He was 16th at the Byron Nelson on another Texas start. this year. He's got another 24th at that same Byron Nelson before. So it's a poor field. He's someone I'm keeping an eye on. So it's a slight personal project, possibly. But I thought 50s was acceptable in his home state and when he's got a sixth place just three starts ago,
yeah,
and a bit of course form.
Okay, 50-1 Bronson Bagoon, Dave's sole selection there. I liked Sam Ryder as well.
Mm-hmm.
He was one that I had a quick look at. He's kind of been ducked at 40-1, but he was good from tee to green last week. Would have been a lot closer in Summerlin were it not for a disastrous final round, which culminated with a 7 at the penultimate hole. Still finished inside the top 20, and he was 5th in Houston in this event last year as well. So, yes, Sam Ryder was one that stuck out to me.
I looked at Denny McCarthy.
Yes.
We've, again, ducked him somewhat. 33s, I think he should go well. The other one I looked at a big price is Matt Every, because he's completely hit or miss, isn't he? There's so many miscuts when he goes through his stats. But when he isn't missing cuts, he can often be playing quite well. If you look at his form in Texas, on the Texas swing earlier this year, runner-up at the Byron Nelson, 17th at Colonial, then he's hardly done anything since until coming back with 18th in Vegas last week. So if you can get him on an upturn...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was 8th, as I say... Did I say this? He was 8th in this last year. So he can play well at the course. He's in form. He's a player, if you backed him just every week at 100-1, you'd probably land a bit, wouldn't you? Because he won those back-to-back Bay Hills, obviously, on Bermuda.
Yeah,
when he was in appalling form for the second one.
I think he could go
well. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's sort of... He's tipped his cap, hasn't he, with that 18th place finish last week.
Yeah, he's a funny old sort. He's one to look out for first-round leader as well. He's always... Yeah. Can start fast in that. I read a little quote from him where he was talking about something else, but in amongst it he said, my attitude can get bad. So I think he's one of these where if it's not his week, he's not going to grind his way to 41st. He's just going to whatever. So hopefully after a good finish in Vegas, 66 67 66, we might get a good week out of him. Worth a chance, maybe at hundreds.
Very good. Shall we wrap?
Yes.
Let's get the selections then. Starting off in the Italian Open, I'm going to have that point each way on Matt Wallace at 22-1 and a point each way on Jordan Smith at 50-1.
Yeah, I'll have a point each way on Christian Bezuidenhout at 50s and Jordan Smith at 50s.
And you're having the point each way double?
On Matt Wallace.
Yep.
And Russell Henley, both of those 22-1.
And your selection in sole selection, away from the each way double in the event in Texas?
Yeah, it's completely very symmetrical staking plan of my price, is it? You've got to be either 22s or 50s. I'm going to appoint each way on Bronson Bagoon at 50s.
Very good. Thank you for your company, Dave.
Cheers, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Do let us know if you've not, at Dave Tyndall Golf and at the Kellner, well, kind of anyway. And we'll pick it up next week.
Constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism is very much openly received here with the William Hill Golf Podcast team.
Absolutely, yes. We're grown-ups, we can take it.
Check out all the betting at williamhill.com by clicking on the golf page or on at the app as well. And this podcast available every Tuesday at audioboom.com. Again, type in William Hill to access it. And thank you for joining us on the William Hill Golf Podcast. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.